Welcome. Bethel, God's house. HaMispcha, the watchtower. Machanaim, two camps. This is Vayetz. He went out. The parsha reading for the middle of November, Genesis 28. But let us begin first with a teaching, just real brief in this teaching as a foundation. The word of God and hearing God's word. In Genesis chapter 3, we are first given this is the instructions regarding the serpent and the temptation and the fall of man. And in verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." This was God's instruction to Adam and Eve, his word. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and they ate them. Therefore, we say that God's word, Eve was deceived and disobeyed God. And because of the lie, the serpent taking the word of God and changing it, and she became disobedient. And in her own strength, brought in destruction and death, both she and Adam. She opened the door to Satan by listening to him. All right, let's look at Bethel. We're going to talk about God's house, how Jacob went out. And the story is taken from Genesis Bereshit, because this is the beginning. He went out, Genesis 28:10 and Genesis 32:3. I suggest that you get your scriptures and you read this portion. I'm only going to touch on certain parts. Let's first look at Genesis 28:10 through 20. Yaakov went out from Beersheba and traveled towards Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed the night there. Because the sun had set, he took a stone from the place, put it under his head, and lay down there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to the heaven. And the angels of Adonai were going up and down on it. Then suddenly Adonai was standing there next to him, and he said, "I am Adonai, the God of Abraham, your grandfather, and the God of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. But you and your descendants, by you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go, and I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Yaakov woke from his sleep and said, "Truly, Adonai is in this place, and I didn't know it." Then he became afraid and said, "This place is fearsome. This has to be the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Yaakov got up early in the morning, took the stone he had put under his head, set it up as a standing stone, poured olive oil on its top, and named the place Bethel, House of God, but the town had originally been called Luz. Yaakov took this vow: "If God will be with me and will guard me on this road that I'm traveling, give me bread to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return to my father's house in peace, then Adonai will be my God, and the stone which I have set up as a standing stone will be God's house. And of everything you give me, I will faithfully return one-tenth to you." Now, I'm just going to make some comments about this. Jacob was being driven out because he has deceived and tricked Esau out of the birthright and the inheritance. And Esau was pursuing him, and Jacob's he his mother told him, "You better leave. Go to your uncle's house, Laban, that back in Ur of the Chaldees." And this was he was leaving and going out because Esau was after Jacob's life for deceiving him. He was trying to make things happen and attain things that, and there was conflict because of iniquity in the family line. Jacob means deceiver or supplanter. And so he goes out from Beersheba to Haran. And he took a stone from the place and put it in his head and lay down there to sleep. Let me suggest that this stone that he slept on was actually the chief stone of the temple of God in heaven, the cornerstone, Yeshua. It is a type of that. He dreamt that there that night before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God, Adonai, were going up and down. And suddenly Adonai was standing there next to him, and he said, "I am Adonai, the God of Abraham, your grandfather, the God of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and to your descendants, and your descendants will be numerous as the grains on the dust. You will expand to the west and to the east, the north, and the south by you and your descendants, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look, I'm with you. I will guard you wherever you go, and I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave until I have done what I have promised to you." Therefore, God initiated the dream. He initiated the stone. He initiated the stairs ascending to heaven, and he said, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to bless you and guard over you." And when Jacob awoke, he said, "Whoa, Adonai is in this place, and I didn't know." And he became afraid, and he said, "This is Bethel, the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And he took and poured olive oil on the stone that he had laid his head on, and named the place Bethel. And then he took a vow. He took a vow, "God, you will be with me and guard me." But God had already initiated the covenant vow. God said, "I will be with you and I will guard you. And the road that I'm traveling, give me bread and to eat and clothes to wear so that I return to my father's house in peace." And this the key phrase here is peace. Go in peace. "Then Adonai will be my God, and this stone which you have set up here as a standing stone will be God's house, and of everything you give me, I'll faithfully return one tenth to you." Therefore, Jacob was just reiterating back to God the covenant that God himself had initiated at Bethel. Let's go on to Genesis 31, 36, and 42. In the meantime, Jacob had met Rachel at the well, began to work for her father Laban. 7 years for Rachel. He was tricked with Leah on the wedding night, worked another 7 years for Rachel, and 6 years for sheep and wealth. So it was a total of 21 years. Now, Genesis 31, 36 through 42. Then Jacob began, so now Jacob ran off in the middle of the night and took all of his acquisitions and his children and his wives and put them on camels and all of his wealth and fled for the hill country of Gilead. And the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. So Laban took his kinsmen and ran out after him. And he caught up with them. And he said, "How come you've stolen my household gods?" Now Rachel had taken the household gods of Laban. The house in Haran is in Ur of the Chaldees. And Ur of the Chaldees is ancient Babylon from the name Babel, which means gate of God. In Akkadian. That is to say that a ziggurat was built there after the flood, and men tried to build an open stargate or portal, a gate of God, and there were all these household gods. That and the major one actually in Ur was Nana, which was a goddess, and it was the god Sin, and this was the god of the crescent moon from which stems modern Islam and Allah. All right. So these Babylonian gods is what Abraham was called out of. When he heard the voice of God, he was called out of Babylon to serve Adonai Elohim, the Lord God Almighty, the one and only, the Father, creator of the universe, and not these other gods. Now, in verse 36, Genesis 31, then Jacob became angry. He became angry and started arguing with Laban. What have I done wrong? He demanded. What is my offense that you have come after me in hot pursuit? You have felt all around in all my stuff, but have you found of all your household goods? Put it here in front of my kinsmen and yours so they can render judgment between the two of us. I have been with you for these 20 years. Your female sheep and goats haven't aborted their young, and I haven't eaten the male animals in your flocks. If one of your flocks was destroyed by a wild animal, I didn't bring the carcass to you, but bore the loss myself. You demanded that I compensate you for any animals stolen, whether by day or by night. Here's how it was for me. During the day, thirst consumed me, and at night it was cold. My sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I've served you 14 years for your 2 daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. Now, I want to say that that is the spirit that is on Babylon and those gods. I have to work 7 years for this, and 7 years for that, and 6 years for this, and I have to pay for what I didn't steal, and what I didn't consume, and what wasn't lost. And then you changed my wages 10 times. Verse 42, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the one whom Yitzhak fears, had not been on my side, by now you would certainly have already sent me away with nothing. God has seen how distressed I've been and how hard I've worked, and last night he passed judgment in my favor. All right, this is a challenge between the God of Abraham, the God of my father, and the gods that Rachel took from her father's house and hid them from her father. And where did Rachel hide these household gods? Let's look up in verse 33. Well, it says verse 32, but if you find your gods with someone, that person will not remain alive. So, with our kinsmen to witness, if you spot anything that I have which belongs to you, take it back. Yaakov did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Yaakov's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two slave girls, but he did not find them. He left Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now, Rachel had taken the household gods, put them in the saddle of the camel, and was sitting on them. Laban felt all around the tent but did not find them. She said to her father, please don't be angry that I'm not getting up in your presence, but it's the time of my period. So he searched, but he didn't find the household gods. Now, let me comment on this, that Rachel put them under her camel's saddle and then sat on it and said, it's my period, I can't get up. And there are scriptures in Jeremiah that says your idolatry and your gods are as a menstrual rag, and in Hosea also, that God will throw you away, you're unusable. And this conflict now, as Jacob declares, the God of my father, the God of Abraham, has been on my side all these years. And we see the clash of these two kingdoms, Babel, the gate of demons, gods, and Bethel, the gate or the house of God. Now, Laban answered Yaakov after this conflict, where Yaakov became angry with him and argued with him and accused him of all this stuff that he had done over wages and his daughters and mistreating him. In verse 43, so Laban answers Yaakov and says, the daughters are mine, the children are mine, the flocks are mine, and everything you see is mine. But what can I do today about these daughters of mine or the children they have born? So now, come, let's make a covenant, I and you, and let it stand as a testimony between me and you. Yaakov took a stone and set it up as a standing stone. Now, the last time we saw this happen was when Yaakov was on his way to Haran in Ur of the Chaldees. And he set it as a standing stone. And then Yaakov said to his kinsmen, gather some stones. And they took the stones and made a pile and ate there by the pile of stones. And then Laban, Laban called it Yagar Sahaduta, pile of witnesses in Aramaic, while Yaakov called it Gal Ed, a pile of witnesses in Hebrew. And Laban said, this pile of witnesses between me and you today, this is why it is called Gal Ed, and also Hamitzpah, the watchtower, because he said, May Adonai. Laban said this. Who was in idolatry, in Babylonian idolatry, and after his household gods. He came to Adonai. He said, may Adonai watch between me and you when we are apart from each other. If you cause pain to my daughters, or if you take wives in addition to my daughters, then even if no one is there with us, still God is witness between me and you. Hamitzpah. When you make a covenant under God and you say you are a certain way or this or that or a certain thing, God is a witness. Hamitzpah, the watchtower. God is watching over his word to perform it, the word that he gave Jacob at Bethel. Laban also said to Yaakov, here is this pile and here's the standing stone which I've set up between me and you. May this pile be a witness and may the standing stone be a witness. And that I will not pass beyond this pile to you, and you will not pass beyond this pile and the standing stone to me to cause harm. May the God of Abraham and also the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. But Yaakov swore by the one his father Yitzhak feared, not by the gods of Nahor or Babylon. He swore by God the Lord Almighty. And then Yaakov offered a sacrifice on the mountain and invited his kinsmen to the meat. They ate food and spent the whole night on the mountain. Therefore, I suggest to you that God was watching over his word to perform it, and that was the word that he said at Bethel, the house of God, the gate of God, to deal with the gates of Babel, the Babylonian gods, and the false gods. And God initiated the covenant, and he brought it back to pass, fulfilling the covenant to Yaakov that I will bring you back to this land. Let's look at Mahanaim, two camps, verse chapter 32. One, early in the morning, Laban got up and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. And then Laban left and returned to his own place. Yaakov went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Yaakov saw them, he said, this is God's camp, and he called that place Mahanaim, two camps. The angels of God met him. This is a very cryptic passage. This is Mahanaim, the place of two camps, two armies, conflict, where the angels had met him. Mahanaim is also in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 13, the Shulamite says, what would you see in the Shulamite as it were the dance of two camps? Which is a reference to the angelic conflict that's going on in this whole passage. That's a whole other teaching about the dance, the Lord's dance, the Lord of the dance. But also Mahanaim, Naim is a place in Israel. Now, let's continue on to Hosea, which is the continuing reading for this week, Hosea 12, 13 through 14. 10. I want to suggest something to you here. We're not going to read all of Hosea, the reading. You'll have to read about Israel's sin in captivity and how God continues to love Israel, and this, and then his deliverance for his beloved, and how Jesus delivers us through the conflict, the spiritual conflict, his beloved from the iniquities that we were born into. Jacob was a deceiver and a supplanter. And in Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, Ephraim shall say, "What have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them." This is that God brings forward and deals and brings to pass his purposes. He does it through his covenant. Through his covenant. He establishes the covenant. He gives the terms of the covenant. And then he proceeds to fulfill the covenant. Now, the Brit Hadashah, that is the New Testament reading, is very interesting. It's from John. And we've been talking about iniquity and the purging out of iniquity through God's covenant, how his covenant of blood, Yeshua, the stone, the standing stone, the gate of heaven, the gates, the entryway, the stairs to heaven that he established, and he establishes the house of God. In John chapter 1, verse 43, the next day, having decided to leave for Galil, Yeshua found Philip and said, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Kepha lived. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one that Moshe wrote about in the Torah. Also the prophecy, Yeshua ben Yosef from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Nazareth, can any good thing come from there? Come and see." Philip said to him, Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him and remarked about him, "Here's a true son of Israel. Nothing false in him. None of Jacob's sin there, his iniquity, deceiving, tricking." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Yeshua answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Yeshua answered him, "You believe all this just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." Then he said to him, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that you will see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man. You will see that you've seen the gate of heaven. There's no deceit in you. God has revealed and opened your eyes that Jesus is the stone that Jacob laid his head on, and the gates of heaven with the angels descending up and down, that he will see them. That he, Yeshua, is the house of God. That Jesus said when he was in the temple, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall raise it up.' He meant the temple that he is. We are under his headship. We are his temple. We are the living God. God lives his glory, lives in us as we are in the spirit. He is Bethel. Jesus is God's house. He is Hamitzpah. He is the watchtower who watches over to his word to bring it to pass, to perform it. He will watch over us. He established the covenant. He called us into it. He initiated, and he will watch over to perform it. And we will be in Mahanaim, the two camps of the angels, the two armies, the great conflict that's happening, the war. And you will be victorious. if you listen to his word and obey him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing had been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not suppressed it. John, first chapter, 1 through 5. Then down here, verse 12, but to as many as did receive him, to those who put their trust in his person and power, he gave the right to become children of God, not because of bloodline, physical impulse, or human intention, but because of God. The Word became a human being and lived with us, and we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That is Yeshua. He is indeed heaven opened for us through his blood and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the gate of God, Bethel, the house of God. God bless you. May you come into the army of Machanim and the victory dance of the warring angels. Peace. Shalom.